as most of you that have been here for quite some time, but also the last month or so, we've been studying the manifestations of the Holy Spirit that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the reason that I use the word manifestation is because that's what the scriptures use. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given for everyone to profit withal. So from that perspective, because we have the gift is the Spirit, and He dwells within each of us as believers, but how He manifests, He's the one that chooses. We can't make stuff up. If you do, it's pretty shallow, like shallow Hal. You know, it's not... It might encourage somebody a little bit, but it's not what the scriptures are talking about. It's talking about how the Holy Spirit Himself within us as His vessel chooses to manifest. And so I would like to refer you to chapter 12 again of 1 Corinthians. It's healthy to go back and reread this portion of scripture so that this word becomes more, I like that word, engrafted, because the implication is it becomes a part of who you are and you become a part of it. Now concerning spiritual, and I don't know how many of your Bible translations have the word gifts italicized. That means that it wasn't there, it was added. Now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And that's one of the main reasons that I like to revisit these every 5 or 6 years, because like many congregations, we're a congregation that's always, we're pressing on to new things, and sometimes it's easy to forget some of the things before us. Even Paul said, I put you in remembrance. Jesus said, again I say unto you, because we as sheep tend to forget everything except where the grain trough is, you know. And I know, because I work with a lady who has sheep, and I learned a lot from watching her and how she cares for the sheep and how the sheep respond. But now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. Ignorance is a choice. If the information is available and you choose to ignore it, then when trouble comes and you don't have anything to stand on, you cannot blame anyone but yourself. That's an absolute fact. And yes, Christians are accountable to the Lord to be responsible for ourselves, for our own actions and decisions that we make, and we can't go around and blame the devil for everything. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus cursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. That's really, really important right there as well, that you cannot declare the Lordship of Christ except the Holy Spirit reveal that to you and empower you to say His name and make that declaration of faith over your life. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It's to our advantage. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the same, self-same Spirit, divided to every man severally as He will. Not the person, but the Spirit. And I can't emphasize that enough, because I've actually seen this happen a lot of times. In the beginning, the temptation was, to jump on the bandwagon and see if we can stir up something and make something happen in the beginning. And so we try to imitate the Holy Spirit rather than just let the Holy Spirit present himself. And these were broken into three groups. The three revelation manifestations, that's word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Now we have the three vocal manifestations where the Spirit is going to speak something through you, prophecy, tongues, and or interpretation of tongues. We'll be talking about two kinds of tongues found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So I would suggest during the week that you go back and reread that several times, because I don't know how far today we'll get started, but we're going to get started in this next section. So refresh yourselves in the Word, revisit 1 Corinthians chapter 14, make a note of that, and so that next week, the Lord willing, that we'll continue to talk about these, you'll be maybe refreshed in your remembrance of these, and if not, at least you will have visited that portion of Scripture and got that Word down inside of you. Prophecy. What it is not. It's not fortune telling. And I need to say that right up front, because I want to be mindful of how I say this. But in times past, not currently, but in times past, I found myself in meetings where it was borderline. I had a really hard time discerning whether it was prophecy or whether someone was speaking under their own understanding, their own knowledge, or their own wisdom, because especially when it's personal, especially when people come and they prophesy to me about missions trips, because a lot of times that's when I'm more, I don't know, more people come and they have things to tell you before you go. And you really need to weigh and discern what you're hearing. I got a very stern warning this year not to go. And that if I were a martyr, it wouldn't bring God any glory. And then as I printed the prophecy and I studied it, I began to see words of doubt in there. How many of you know God doesn't doubt anything? What he says is true. Something might happen to you. Well, duh. That was the first clue. The more I prayed, this happened on another trip too, but this is the new one. This is the one coming in September. I always feel that it's proper to listen to what the person has to speak. But I'm also familiar with the certainty of what God speaks. I'm also familiar with the fact that if someone comes to you and tells you this is what the Lord is saying, 99 times out of 100, he's already spoken that to you and it's down in your spirit, and you may have ignored it. Maybe you didn't hear it, or maybe you said that's not of the Lord and you just, anybody been there? And so then he raises somebody else up to come and speak that same thing to you as a confirmation that, yes, you heard him the first time. He didn't stutter. He didn't make a mistake. But when I began to dissect, if you will, this prophecy, it was very sketchy at the least. There were words of the person's doubt, I feel, that were mixed in with it. It wasn't a pure word. It was a little bit of maybe both. I have never, in all the years of travel, have I ever been told of the Lord not to go. But I take those words serious. I weigh them. I pray. Sometimes I fast because I want to be sure. The worst that could happen is we lose out of the missions money, we lose most of the plane ticket money except the taxes on them. We can put that back. People financially help me go. I could give the money back. So to me, I would rather be sure before I go than to find out afterwards that was a mistake. There is one prophecy that I believe that the Lord spoke to me, and I believe it was on the third trip coming back from India. As I was looking out the window in the middle of the night in the plane and the lights were all gone, I heard these words, and there were no passengers beside me that spoke like this. To many the door will be closed, but to you it will always be open. That I heard distinctly in my spirit, and it did not come through another person. And I had no reason to think that I would conjure up such a word. It just didn't set like that. It set in my spirit. And all these years, provision comes when I decide and discern that it's time to go. God already said, you can go as long as you want to. The door is open to you. And how many large ministries are now being banned from India? They're not allowed to go anymore. There's an extra page of questionnaires and interrogation in the application forms to go. I found that out with Jesse the other day, 2 weeks ago actually. But the interesting thing is every time I go, I write those prophecies and I bring them with me, because I don't want to get negligent, I don't want to get careless, and neither should you. You may not be traveling halfway around the world. You might be going to Connecticut, or you might be going to New York, or any place that takes you out of your comfort zone, any place that you wouldn't normally go, and somebody gives you words about that. Take that seriously. And if you don't have peace, if you don't have a settled, you need to be settled in your spirit. You need to have peace before you make a decision. Don't make a hasty decision. Weigh it. Test the spirit. Discern. But every time I've gone, when I made the decision to go, all of a sudden, it was like God unlocked all the finances that it takes to go. Didn't have 10 cents when I decided I was going to go, but as soon as I spoke it out loud, all the provision came. Every single trip without fail, not one, had he not provided. And most of the time, I have money left over, and I leave it there. It was given for the trip, so why do I need to bring it home? I leave it there. It can do better there. That's what it was given for. So I've been protected. Even 2 years ago when there was a kidnapping plot, you all prayed with me. Remember, we stood up here and we prayed for that trip, that God would protect me and keep me safe. And one meeting, there was a kidnapping attempt made, and the meeting was shut down. But little did the kidnappers know, all the people that you prayed for me to protect me, one of them was the top undercover detective in the Hyderabad Police Department in that city in India. And he brought two of his buddies. And this guy had become a believer. He was really dangerous in his job. And that's how he found out about the plot, because it was an outdoor meeting, and I could only see from the platform, because there were lights, strings of lights hanging across in front of me. I could only see back so far. I know that people were sitting on grain sacks on the ground because they don't have chairs, and they don't have to sit in animal dung, so they put grain sacks down so they can sit cross-legged on the ground. But I could only see so far. But off in the distance, I heard scuffling, and I saw people that were being beaten with sticks to drive them away. And the detective saw that too. He was sitting off to my right where our seats were. My interpreter was there, he was there, and his two men and the other couple that invited me to go to India with them. I didn't really think a lot about that, but then suddenly he said, stop the meeting and stop it now. And I sensed he was definitely a man of authority. And that's another thing, submit yourself to the authority of the one that invites you to participate in something. It's for your protection and your safety. Yes, this has to do with prophecy, big time. I'm presenting this from, it's a now moment, oftentimes. And you may be in a now moment. So they closed the meeting, kept us in a safe house for an hour, what they found out was the four that had come in were part of a radical sect of Hindus that are now trying as best as they can to eradicate Christianity from India by 2021. That's their plan. And I'm so happy that I had an inside connection.
Yeah.
That's very valuable.
Yeah.
So I weigh what I hear. I don't just blow it off. So after there were four of these guys that came in, but on the other side of the embankment in the woods where there was no lights, there were 26 more with motorbikes, and they were going to wait until the end of the meeting. If there were any people left that they hadn't driven away, they were going to snatch us. They were going to hijack the car and snatch us. So we waited the hour. Food was prepared for all of those people, but we suffered greatly trying to eat it all while the enemy was being confounded and couldn't figure out why their plan failed. They didn't know this guy was a detective and that he and his men had uncovered the plot. So they got tired of waiting and they all left. So his two detectives, they got in a car and they went the 3 miles. There's no lights in some of these rural areas, street lights, until they got to a main road that did have lights, and there was no trace of these guys anyplace. So they said, it's safe to move you. Now, I don't know, I've ridden in a police car once, and it wasn't a joyride to be arrested and handcuffed and your hands back of your back almost up into your shoulder blades with a seatbelt over you so tight you can hardly breathe. But this guy, it was really cool. I got to sit in the back, in the center seat, and they closed these blinds down over the sides so no one could see in the car. I couldn't see out. They brought the other couple in one of the other cars, and they're unmarked cars. They just blend in like everybody else's. And they went out, checked the road safe. And that's how I was taken out of there, and the couple that invited me to go to India with them those 2 years ago. Totally free and safe. And they thought I would be so afraid because they were all afraid in that room. And they looked at me like, we don't understand why you're not afraid. And I said, you have no idea of the preparation that went into this trip, including my home church in Vermont, where we have a bunch of prayer warriors that know how to wage warfare. And I don't want to get too far off the subject, but when I study these words of people prophesying and speaking things into your life, I'm much more confident when I have discerned that it really came from the Lord. And so I want to present it to you from that perspective, because you don't want to get careless. Yes, these are manifestations of the Spirit, but from our perspective, we don't want to be ignorant about them either. Some churches don't teach them, especially when you get to the tongues part. Oh, bougie-woogie, we don't want to get into that. That could be very controversial. Somebody could say something, I don't know what they're talking about. Hello. That's not happening here. You can't get away from these things. Somewhere in your Christian walk, you're going to encounter other believers that speak in tongues. Some do, some don't. But don't write them off. See, that's why we're called that church. We're one of those that do. And you're not always going to be popular. But it don't do any good to tell non-believers you speak in tongues. Tell them they need to get saved. And then after they get saved, the Holy Spirit will give them understanding. It doesn't do any good. It doesn't do any good to prophet and go and talk to unbelievers about these things, because that's why they're unbelievers. They don't believe yet. So as we go through these, we're going to do them one at a time. We're going to start with prophecy, then we're going to do tongues and the interpretation of tongues. And over the years, we've seen these manifest in our midst, and the whole purpose is it builds the church and it edifies the church. They have a wonderful, wonderful purpose by the Holy Spirit. And He'll do it individually in your life as well. So as we go down through these, not fortune telling. I had an encounter with a fortune teller at the Rutland Fair one year. Some of you heard me say this probably a month or so ago, maybe a little bit longer, but I was denied access to a village on one of the trips to India. We were high up in the Nilgiri Mountains, and they had a guard at the bottom of the dirt path and a drop bar that goes across like the old railroad crossings where a bar will drop down. And his job was to make sure that if they didn't know the person in the village, you weren't allowed. So here I come, the only white honky in 40 million miles, and I show up and I want to go into their village. And this man said no. And through my interpreter and the Indian pastor and a couple other guys that were with him, they could have beat him up and I'd have gone in the village, but they didn't. They went back and they discussed and they negotiated. And the price ended up being 100 rupees. If I would pay the guard 100 rupees, it's a bribe. And oh, holy Rick, I don't want to participate in anything like that. I don't want to participate in bribes. 100 rupees is basically less than $5. Well, I paid a fortune teller at the Rutland Fair $5 to go in and have her read my palms and tell me my future so I could give her a Jesus tract in her tent. And the Holy Spirit was instantaneous, reminded me of that. And he said, why are you complaining about so little money when look what you did back in Rutland? You were willing to go in for one soul. I'll give you a village for that 100 rupees. You wear, you choose. So in that light, you know when the Holy Spirit chastises you, you kind of want to squirm in your sandals or barefoot or whatever you're wearing and your toes just kind of... Yeah. I'll pay him the $100. The hundred rupees, I'm sorry, not $100. 100 rupees. It was half of what I paid in Rutland. And it got the whole village. But see, when people tell you doubtful things, where they throw skepticism in, and they say they use the words might or could, those words speak volumes to me, because God doesn't use words like that. He uses shall, will, of a certainty, of a truth. See, once again, it comes down to how well do you know the word? Because if that word is down on the inside of you, engrafted, it becomes a part of you. In your time, when somebody comes to you and they start saying these things, it was like the people that were getting on our case about, oh, you wait till the terrible twos come. I never saw that in the scriptures. I looked briefly. I didn't find anything about terrible twos. I found terrible lizards in the Old Covenant, but I didn't find terrible twos. And I said, surely my kids are not lizards, even though they stick their tongues out at us once in a while, you know? But I don't know. I learned the importance of this as a baby new believer, so that when you recognize the Spirit, because He's always going to speak in line with the Word. So that's another witness. The Spirit bears witness to the Word. Jesus is the Word. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. You can't separate Jesus from His Word. You can't separate the Holy Spirit from the Word. You can't separate God from His Word. So you have all these things going in your favor. So, not fortune telling. Ask Jean Dixon how many times she missed it. I think I had a book. Oh, yes. She actually called it The Gift of Prophecy. That was the name of her book. Now, to the unwise, unlearned, oh, that sounds really good. But she would hear words from the devil and speak them, or familiar spirits and speak them. That's why we need to talk about these things. In the last days, Jesus talked about those that would be around to deceive us, except for the very elect's sake. I don't want to be deceived. If I spoke to you publicly and said I'll never be deceived, guess what? I just was. That's how easy it is. Deception is very subtle, and it's important. So this is just the foundation as we come into these, that don't believe something because I tell you. You read for yourselves. That's why we put the scriptures up here. And I'm glad that you bring your Bibles to church. I so encourage that. I don't care if they're worn out and frazzled and you only got one page left. Bring it. We got some more. We can give you a new one. But don't ever be without the Word. You need to check things that you hear. That's why I love it when you read with me. And sometimes I bring my funny Bible just to make sure that you correct me. On purpose. I do that with intent. To make your eyes look and say, no, that's not right. Well, how do you know? Well, because it says right here. That's what I want to teach you to do. Be more diligent about that. You look, put your eyeballs yourself in your own Bible and read what it says. The Word is the Word is the Word. We don't put a slant on it. We don't go anywhere with it except what is the saying? What is God speaking to you through His Word? And if you read it from that perspective, the Holy Spirit is going to show you. Maybe you didn't read the scriptures like that, but if you do, what's God speaking to me? And that's something the Holy Spirit can work with. And we can all start wherever we're at. So, no fortune telling. That's forbidden in scriptures. I have a lot of scriptures that talk about that, but you can find those very easily. Deuteronomy 13, chapter 13, the first four verses. 2 Kings concerning Manasseh. He practiced black magic and used fortune telling and patronized mediums and wizards. So the Lord was very angry. So we have other sources of information to prophesy. Make sure it's not the wizards and the lizards, okay? I know they rhyme, but please, as we go through these, think about the times people did prophesy to you and spoke, or perhaps even here. I'm very risky. I take a risk every time I see a hand go up. And the reason I do that is because in the order of worship in 1 Corinthians 14:26 is how be it, brethren, every one of you come together. Every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, a hymn, or a teaching. You have something to bring to the table, and then it lays out the order that one goes after the other, and the first one who's speaking, be silent and let the other speak. I will always give you a chance to speak. And I'll just say that publicly right now. You will always have an opportunity to speak. And if you say something off the wall, I'm not going to throw anything at you. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to holler at you. But after the service, I may come to you privately and ask you if you really understood what you said. But I will never do it publicly. That's just not who I am. We're all learning. We're all growing. We're all at different levels of our faith. And we need a climate. We need a spiritual atmosphere where we can learn and grow together. And it's a safe place. So don't ever feel that your words aren't important. What you bring to the table is not important, because it is. And our Bible studies are the same. So if you really feel like you got a word from the Lord, like Rick, the roast is burning, I say, no, it isn't. I turned the oven off before I left home. That's a false prophecy. It's not burning. That's what we have. That's what God gave us. And so, with that in mind, we will talk a little bit about what it is. Talk about what it isn't, and maybe a little more in that area, but then we're going to go on to what it actually is and how you can recognize it when it happens. And actually not be afraid to be used of the Lord. And remember, it's the Spirit that's going to prompt you. You can't be made to stand in a circle and then you prophesy. Because you don't always know when you're put on the spot if what you're speaking is coming from the Lord, or you're trying to think up something to say because it's two people before you and you know you're next. That's a high risk. that somebody is going to miss it and can mislead somebody. So a lot to think about.